Oh, gracious God, we pause in the midst of this time of worshiping you, God, to ask for your grace and to ask for your peace. God, a world that is at war in so many places. God, we long for peace in this world. God, I long for a day when we can claim and name that there is no war in the world. God, I long for a day when we, as the people called the church, are part of bringing peace in the world by being peaceful with one another, by being gracious with one another, by being loving with one another. God, may it be so. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak through me, God, as I speak today. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understand. Open our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife, Susan, and I have this friend. Her name is Lisa Henry, and we have not seen our friend Lisa Henry in at least 10 years. Lisa lives in Indiana, and we haven't gotten to see her, but she comes up in our household on a regular basis, almost weekly. And it's something to the tune of us saying, Lisa would be so proud of me today. Why is that? Because Lisa has a spiritual gift. Her spiritual gift is choosing the right size Tupperware for the food that she puts it in. Like, in all seriousness, Lisa has this capacity, because I don't know if you've done it, but I do it where I'm like, this is the right size, and I go to put it in there, and the Tupperware is this big, and the food is this big. Only, by the way, just to put it in the fridge so that I can take it out a week later and throw it in the garbage disposal and put it in the sink. Or to say, I know this is the right size. I do this with soup all the time. And I go to put it in there, and I've got to get a second container or a third container because I've misjudged. But not Lisa. Lisa has this gift, and it's a magical gift to choose the perfect size container for whatever she's putting in there. And my wife and I often joke, we're like, oh, Lisa would be embarrassed with me right now, and whatever it is. What I understand is that Lisa gets the idea of capacity, the right size capacity. And when I think about her, I often think about this idea of the capacity that we have to love people and to connect with people, how we choose how much capacity we have. And when it comes to the Tupperware idea, I said, if I could create, I keep saying Tupperware, that's like saying Kleenex, you know what I mean. If I could create a container, I'm not a Tupperware ad. If I could create a container that would morph to the size of the stuff in there, I could do major work on Shark Tank. Like Shark Tank, if anybody wants to work with me on that, I'm excited to go into business. It won't be any of my money, it'll be all your money, but I'm excited to go in with you. But this idea of capacity, how do we increase our capacity, especially when it comes to this concept of loving others? See, I am real quick to make decisions as to why I don't have capacity. We have new neighbors that have moved in up the street. They're three houses up, and I have not yet gone to introduce myself, and I think they've lived there 3 or 4 months. And I say, well, I'm just too busy. You know, we have juniors in high school. We're doing a lot of college visits. I've gone on one of those, by the way. I have too many meetings at work. I'm just too busy. See, I'm naming all of these excuses for why I don't have capacity to love. Anybody else do that? Well, I don't know them. I don't know if they would like me. I don't know. I mean, I make excuses all the time to limit my capacity to love and connect with people. We're in a series right now called Reckless Love. We're basing it on this book by Bishop Tom Berlin. I've known Tom for, oh goodness, more than 20 years now. And I think the work that he does in this book that many of you are reading along really pushes us and encourages us to love the way that Jesus loved. And the first week in this series, we talked about beginning with love. How do we start every interaction, every idea, every concept, begin with love? And then the next week, we talked about how do we expand our circle? How do we expand the connections and the ways that we do it? And then last week, I heard that Jonathan Page gave the best sermon you've ever heard in this church, like way better. I mean, I'm like, Jonathan, whatever. Yay, Jonathan. All right. And he preached on lavish love, and that was really beautiful and wonderful. And this week, I want to take us to a place where we're talking about our capacity to love. How do we increase capacity? How do we think about capacity differently? How do we look at it differently? How do we head towards our relationships and think about how we love people that we might not normally love? I want to look at this through the lens this morning of 1 John 2, 7 to 11. I want to give us some context really quickly about this. This text is written about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and John has a goal. The goal in writing this to the people is to remind them, keep following Jesus. I know he said he was coming back, and he hasn't come back yet, and I know you thought he was coming back right away, and I know you're getting weary, and I know things are a little tough, but keep following Jesus. Follow the ways of Jesus. So I want you to hear what he writes in this moment. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet, I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. This is a very confusing text. I'm not giving you anything that's not new. I'm giving you something that's old. What John knows is that these people who are listening love the tradition. The tradition is really important to them. But then he gets really confusing because he says, okay, I'm going to give you something new. I'm only giving you something old, but I'm going to give you something new. What he's talking about is from the beginning of time, this concept of loving has been the message that God has given. From the beginning of the church, it has been the message of how they love and how they go together. So that's old, but what's new about it is they seem to have forgotten. They seem to be struggling. They seem to not remember that what they are supposed to do is to love. They seem to be challenged by that. So he says, what I'm giving you is old, but it's also new. It's new because you forgot. That's like when you hide something, put it away, and you find it later and you're like, oh, it's like a new present. No, you had it before, right? That's the idea. It's old because they were called to it. It is what they were supposed to do. It is the message that God has given them. It is the message that Jesus has given them. And yet, it is new. Love has already come, but the truth is they haven't lived into it. Our capacity to love is very similar to this. It is often challenged by our ability to actually love people. Our capacity is challenged by our ability to actually do it. Here's the issue for the early church. The problem for them is they wanted to stay in their comfort zone. They wanted to stay with the people who were like them. They wanted to stay with the people who they knew. They wanted to stay with the people who were in their circles. And that's a challenge we have today. A lot of us love the comfort zone. A lot of us love the people that agree with us, people that talk the way we do, the people that eat the same foods that we do, because then we can go to lunch with them, right? We like the people that like the stuff that we like. We like the people that talk like we do, that shop where we do, right? We love those things. We like sameness. And the challenge with doing the same thing over and over again, and this is the message that Jesus is giving the disciples throughout the gospel. The challenge with doing the same thing over and over again is it never stretches you. It never pushes you. It never challenges you. It never causes you to get outside of yourself, and you rarely grow as a result of it. See, the reason that Jesus' love was referred to as reckless was that he loved people that everybody else thought he shouldn't. He went after people that everyone else was like, no, 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 no. He cared for the people that thought differently than he did. He cared for the people that were on the margins and the people that were on the inside. Jesus deeply, deeply loved. And he pushed the disciples to get out of their comfort zone. How often in the Gospels did the disciples say, but Jesus, right, feeding the 4,000, Jesus, can't we just send them home? Heck no. Jesus, do we really have to touch that guy? Jesus, I know you say you're going this way, but it's a much easier path to go this way. But Jesus, can't you? Over and over and over again, he pushes them out of that comfort zone to expand their capacity to love. Capacity increases. So as I said, this passage shows us that as long as we stay in our comfort zone, we're not going to grow. Look at this verse from number 9. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person, there is no cause for stumbling. Again, John is trying to say, living in your comfort zone doesn't do anything. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Some of you are going to say the same thing that I say when I read this text. I don't hate anybody. Hate's a strong word. Right? If I hate, then that's going to disenfranchise people. See, for Jesus, the difference wasn't love or hate. For Jesus, the difference was love or not love. You see the difference? It's very easy to say I don't hate anyone. It's a lot harder to say that I don't love anyone. For Jesus, the difference was you are called to love people, and if you don't, then you do not love. And the way John talks about this is you are standing in the darkness. You are not in the light. In fact, you are standing in the darkness in a way that you block the light from other people experiencing it. If we can't love, that's our reality. Cult is a word that many of us are uncomfortable with. Cult is a word that when we hear it, we go, ooh, that sounds bad. Like maybe we'll watch a documentary on it, but we don't want to be part of it. But the truth is, friends, a cult is when you are in a group of people that are all exactly like you. A cult is when you are in a group of people that all agree with you, that all think the same thing. There's a story of a young woman who grew up in Thailand. And she came to live in the United States, and she finally went to public school. And she found a magazine, and there was a quiz in a magazine to find out if you were in a cult or not. I don't know what magazine. I haven't read that magazine. But she took the quiz and realized that she had grown up her entire life in a cult. She had grown up in Thailand. And the way that she described where she grew up, the walls all had to be a certain height, and then they had to have barbed wire around them. And there were multiple people living within. And those people were called the children of God. And they were told, this little girl was, if ever she went outside without telling her parents, she was never allowed to come back again because she was going outside of the children of God. She was told that that's whom God had chosen, that's whom God had loved, and she never realized that was a cult until she got back and she took this quiz. My friends, I wonder how many of us don't realize that we're in a cult. How many of us don't realize that because we won't go outside of our norm, of our group, of our people, that we actually are living in this place where we are caged from living out the fullness of who God has called us to be. God is calling us to reach out beyond the capacity that we think we have, to live and love recklessly, to stretch beyond what is comfortable, to live into what the gospel calls us to do. So what do? Friends, when we love recklessly, it stretches us. There's a word that Tom uses in the book. It's called agitate. And when I hear agitate, I think like annoy, bother. I think when I tell dad jokes, I agitate my kids, right? I have plenty of those if you want to hear them. But when he talks about it in the book, he defines it this way. He says to agitate is to have our lives cleansed of what inhibits God's love from radiating from our lives. And he uses the example, and I think we have a picture of it, of an agitator within a washing machine. Not many of our washing machines have those anymore because we want more capacity. I think they cleaned better when they had agitators. But the agitator is that which leads to a deeper cleansing. The agitator is that which leads to clothing becoming the best version of itself again. So we are called to be agitated. We are called to agitate. Because when we do that, the way John describes it is we can see beyond our own blindness. He says, but whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go because the darkness has brought on blindness. As I said a few weeks ago from the passage from 1 John 3, we have the capacity to get in the way of God's light for other people. This week, Sean and I were in the hole that is used for all the stuff that comes out of the house. Let me describe it that way. And we were down in the hole and we were building the wall on the inside of it out of cinder blocks. And there were so many moments where one of us would be down there and we'd look up because the sun was so bright and we couldn't even see where the cinder block was coming on the rope down towards our faces. And we would stand and we would try to block the sun. And in those moments, the whole temperature changed. The whole experience in the hole changed. Now, in that moment, that was a positive thing. I was thankful when he was standing in the sun. But friends, we have the capacity to stand in the sunlight of Christ and block it for people. That is something that we do and we often do. And we get in the way of people experiencing God's love. And I wonder what might happen if we as the church did our darndest to get out of the way so that every person could experience the love of Christ. What would happen if we got out of the way so that all could see and expand their capacity to love and to be loved? You know who is expanding their capacity to love right now? I read an article about it just a few weeks ago. Mattel. What's Mattel famous for? Anybody know? Barbie. Oh, some said other thing. We'll go with Barbie because that's my illustration, okay? All right. Thank you for those who said that. Barbie. And there is an image that a lot of people have of Barbie. It's a common image. It's blonde. She's white. And the truth is, for years and years and years, every Barbie looked that way. And over the last few years, Mattel has started to come out with Barbies that look so different. In fact, the Washington Post article I read said that they're coming out with a Barbie, and I don't know how they're going to design this, but a Barbie with autism, so that other people can feel connected. Now, Mattel is feeling very, very agitated. Now, I think they're feeling agitated because business is probably down. But the truth is they are making change in what they do. They are being agitated for the sake of everyone finding a person that looks like them. They are agitated for transformation of their whole entire business model. And they anticipate in another decade that no one will think of Barbie that just looks blonde. That no one will think of that option. Now, Barbie is changing because society is telling Barbie to change. The church doesn't change because society tells us to change. You know why the church changes? Because Jesus tells us to change. The church doesn't do it because society says it. The church does it because Christ tells us to. If you read the gospel, Christ is telling us over and over and over again to expand our capacity to love, not to expand our capacity to hate. I think in the last few years, we've expanded our capacity to hate. And we hate people because we don't like what they say. We don't like what they believe. We don't like what they do, and we instantly move ourselves to that place. Living in the light of Christ calls us to allow our capacity to grow. And as I said, Jesus' desire in his time with the disciples was about expanding the capacity, expand their capacity to grow, expand their capacity to do it. So how do we do it in our own lives? There's a couple of things I want to give you this morning. First, it's this. I want to encourage you to be intentional about the ways that you keep people at bay and in the darkness. Do a little self-examination. Make your own magazine test. How many people have you unfriended on social media? How many people at work have you decided, I'm not talking to them because I disagree with them? On whatever the issue is. How many neighbors have you discerned? How many family members? And listen, I'm not talking about people who have caused you harm. By all means, put boundaries in place. But how many people have we put aside because they're difficult? Because maybe we think they don't have the need to be loved. Think about our own prejudices, whatever they are. What are the things that are outside of our cult-like selves that have caused us not to love? Think about your last feeling when you were walking down the street and you crossed the street because somebody else was coming. Think about going in the grocery store and seeing someone that you're like, oh, I don't want to deal with that person, and deciding we just won't have milk this week because I'm not going that way. Think about it for real. I mean, the gospel calls us to get the milk anyway, to take the step to walk down the aisle and then get a little agitated. Confess the walls and the ways that you hold contempt for people. And look, I know not for everyone here is this an issue of culture or race. Maybe it's an issue of, I disagree with you politically and therefore you're on the outside. Maybe it is an issue of, I don't like what you support. Maybe it's an issue, name it, whatever it is, that you've blocked people, that you've decided that you don't have the capacity to love them. This last week, when we went to Guatemala, we were on a site where we were building a house where it happened to be this large family compound. And there were about 20 kids on the compound. And the first day when we got there, and listen, our team was fantastic. They brought all this stuff for the kids to do. They brought adult coloring books, kid coloring books, markers. They brought like crafts. I mean, it was just amazing. It was incredible. And the first day you could kind of see the kids sort of standing back and observing. Remember, they had groups that were coming every week and then turning around and leaving. And then the second day you saw the kids sort of, we were finishing lunch and you saw them sort of looking for the markers, you know, coming around, sort of pretending like they weren't paying attention and then coming to the table. By the third day we were there, they got out of school and they ran up the driveway, dropping their bags as they came, giving hugs. Friends, we were the last team that was gonna be there on this site. They've had teams, I don't know, the last 8 or 9 weeks. And we were the last team that was gonna be there to be with them. And yet those kids allowed their hearts to love us, knowing that we were gonna turn around and leave, knowing that we were gonna go, knowing that we weren't going to be there for them in the future. They expanded their capacity to love with us. They knew that we weren't gonna be there, and yet they still did it. Yet they still gave us that space. Yet they still were willing to do that with us. I want us to be more like those children and less like ourselves. I want us to be willing to run up the road and say, I know this is gonna be hard, but I want to love you. The little boy, Jose, who we were building the house for his family, I guess when other groups have left, he has said something. But his mom said something that was really beautiful, and his dad said something, and that was really beautiful. And they got to Jose to see if he wanted to talk, and he just turned and buried his head in his mom's stomach with tears. And I don't know what those tears were about. I mean, we loved him, he loved us, and that was really beautiful. But that little boy opened up his heart to love us, and he allowed us to love him. I want to be more like Jose. I want to push us to be more like Jose, because he was this final thing. Here's the final thing. Be reckless. He recklessly put his heart out there and let us know him. He recklessly put his heart out there and let us love him. He recklessly let us come and work on his house. And y'all, we are not that good at working on houses. And yet, I mean, we got good by the end, but you know, and yet, he let us do it. Y'all, let's be more like Jose. Let's recklessly love people, even if we don't agree with everything that they do. This week, I want to invite you to be reckless. Pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't called in a while because they annoy you. Write a letter to someone that's important in your life and just say, hey, I love you. Go to lunch with someone that maybe you've had some disagreement with, and don't make it all about the disagreement. Make it about the love that you have for one another. Be reckless, because you wanna know why Jesus was transformative in the time that he was transformative. He did things that everybody around him looked at him and said, that's reckless. And it absolutely changed the world. See, we can have conversations about, I'm too busy to do all these things. I can't do all these things. But the truth is, for most of us, we don't want to do the work. We don't want to put the time in to expand the capacity. Friends, Jesus came so that your love for God, my love for God and others might increase. I would hate for my life to be so limited that I don't let other people experience that reality. I hope you do too. Amen. Amen.